Blog Talk Radio.
And hello again, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Access Radio Live. And again, we have technical difficulties, so we've got to fix this real quick. All right, so yeah, a little bit of technical difficulties. Hopefully you guys can hear me now. So anyways, all right, so yeah, sorry about that. All right, hello again. It's Thursday, September 21st, and thanks for tuning in. Man, I hate we have these technical difficulties because sometimes, man, I think, you know, I got everything situated, and then this is what happens. So I'm glad you guys bear with me so we can get this show started. So a lot of times I talk about certain things that I see, maybe it's something in my news feed, you know, on Facebook that kind of, you know, catches my eye and I read it or whatnot. So check this out. There was a article that I read about a football coach at the Pop Warner level. That I don't know, for some reason allowed his kids to take a knee during the national anthem. And oh man, I was so against that. And so I'll tell you why. So basically, essentially what he did was he basically helped those kids take about 5 steps backward in life. If you go through history, the flag represents the flag is what they took in battle, and you know back in the whole kind of old school war days, you had that flag, and you would carry that flag, and if a person got shot that was carrying the flag, somebody else picks that flag up. If you ever know the way the flag is printed on the shoulder of a soldier, it's always printed to where it looks kind of backwards, where you normally see the flag on a and the stars are on the left-hand side. There's this on the right-hand side this time, and it's simulating going into battle. That's how it is on, like, the police cars. That's how it is on anybody that does something and a representation of, like, public safety. So at the end of the day, you know, that flag is like a symbol of the people who go out, these soldiers, you know, who sign up, risk their life to make sure that people in this country are protected. While those kids are playing football, there's probably some secret high profile mission there's probably some kind of secret mission already that's going on that we don't know about while those kids are enjoying themselves playing a game of football, but they can't sit and respect the national anthem only because of police shooting unarmed black people. And here's how it worked for me. No, I don't condone anybody getting shot, you know, unarmed. But if you simply just do what a police officer says, then everything else can be sorted out later. A police officer they don't know who you are. They don't know if you just got done robbing a bank and, you know, you think that that's what they're after you for, when in all actuality, they probably pulled you over because you did something as simple as, like, not have your seatbelt on. I think what the media allows you to hear is what's going to catch your eye at the time. It's sort of like clickbait. First thing you see is an article that says, white cop shoots unarmed black guy. So now everybody's clicking on it, and all they have is what the media really wants you to hear at that time. So then what do? Everybody gets together, and Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, two of the worst people, that, you know, that's a detriment to the advancement of African-American people. They come down here, they start a big protest, and then everybody starts to riot, and then a week later, something emerges like the video, and it shows that person reaching for a gun, or shows that person being given multiple directives to drop a gun, and now we've destroyed everything by looting and rioting, and then a real truth comes out. At the end of the day, black people, white people, Chinese people, they're all getting shot. You know, they're all, everybody, you know, there's a lot of races have been shot by cops when they was not armed. So we'll just put it to you that way. And when it comes to me, and I am African American, so, you know, I will speak on it. If black lives matter, then it needs to matter to us first. And what I simply mean by that is there's been murder after murder after murder of African-American individuals in the city of Chicago by the hands of another African-American individuals, but that doesn't make the news. No, in the NAACP and protesting on there about that. And we're shooting each other and killing each other for something simple as, because a guy walked down a sidewalk in the wrong neighborhood with blue sweatpants on or with a red bandana on. So that's not the colors of my gang, so I'm going to shoot him dead. And that's just ridiculous. But again, the NAACP, they're not talking about that. The media, they're not talking about that. So in all actuality, we need to care about what's going on in our own neighborhoods. And when or if they do what they say, don't give them a reason to think that their life's in jeopardy. And again, let them do what they do, and everything else is going to be sorted out later. So off to what this is really about. You know, I thought I'd throw my two cents in, and because I actually had people asking what I thought about it. But minus that, we're going to have a good show. You're going to hear me talk. I have Jordan Goko, wide receiver, tight end. He's going to be on the show. He plays for West Forsyth High School in Louisville, North Carolina. Also, Charlie Minch. He is the quarterback at R.J. Reynolds High School. A team that's been doing quite well after, you know, having a couple of bad starts, you know, since they hired a new head coach, and just in general in the last 6 years, you know, Reynolds football program hasn't been at its best. So enough for me. I'm getting ready to bring Jordan Goko in. Jordan, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
You say you can hear me pretty good, right?
Yeah, I can hear you loud.
Give me 1 second. Give me 1 second, man. I can't hear you that well, so I'm going to try to make it right this go around. All right, Jordan, can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Just give me one second, guys. Again, technical difficulties, and they all suck. So I hate this. It's embarrassing. Well, not really.
All right, Jordan, can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right, man, I'm back. Once again, technical difficulties. All right, Joe, well, thanks for being on the show, man. How's everything going for you today? Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, how's everything going for you? Can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine, man. Just saying, how's everything going?
Man, it's going good. You know, we play South Iredale tomorrow. We're looking good. We're looking strong. We're looking healthy. Other than we do have Matt Duke out, starting running back. That hurts us. But then again, Coach Snow always says next man up. Then we got juniors, sophomores, you name it. All of them step up big time. Show them that even though underclassmen, they doubted, but they step up, do the job fine.
Do you know what the latest is on Matt Duke?
Matt Duke, he's expected to come back by CPC, so that's 2 weeks. He should be back by then. Like he said, I mean, he's not too sure. He goes to the doctor soon, but we're hoping for a full recovery by CPC, so conference he can be 100%.
All right. Well, what I always like to start out with is just tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us how you got started in football.
I grew up playing all types of sports, you name it, basketball, baseball, football, hockey. My dad wanted to put me in tennis. Because my dad grew up playing tennis. He was a tennis fanatic. I couldn't let him put me through tennis. But growing up playing Pop Warner football out of the Broncos, didn't really like it. Didn't really like it at all. I didn't like football. My parents, they made me stick with it, though. I took a break from football grade year because I was like, Mom, Dad, I just can't play anymore. Like, I don't find fun in the game. Then came freshman year, they were like, you have to play football. And I still didn't want to play freshman year. Then they put me through summer workouts. I got through those. Then I didn't really like it until I got because I started out at DN. Being the tall person I know, I was falling. I looked up to Jalen Dalton. That goes to Carolina. My dad always talked about him being DN, being tall, all this stuff. So I was like, I'm gonna try to play DN. Then Coach Snow, he had where we went to offense and defense for half practice, whatnot. And it turns out I was catching balls better than anybody out there. I'm talking like in my age group, freshman, sophomore. So it came like second game. I was starting wide receiver. I had we played Statesville. I had two touchdowns, had a winning touchdown, and I had like about 100 yards. And that's where I just fell in love with football again. Then like it took off from there. Then ever since then, sophomore year, started on varsity as a tight end. Junior year, same thing. Senior year, I'm doing the same thing, just having fun with it.
And that's good. So your freshman year, how tall were you as a freshman?
As a freshman, I was coming in 6'4", touching 6'5".
All right. So Max Preps has you listed at 6'7", 205. Is that accurate? I mean, you know, I played high school football, and I think to kind of get the looks from, like, college coaches, they usually add about maybe an inch and a half and, like, 20 pounds on the program. But how accurate is that?
That's – honestly, I'm touching 6'7". I'm, like, right – like, in the halfway mark. Like, basically, it's basically 6'7". So, I'm 6'6". I'm 6'7", honestly. Then I got – then 205, that's my actual weight.
Yeah, so – you know, with that size, have you gotten any looks from any good quality football programs?
I've gotten a few looks. Coach is talking to me. Only have one offer on the table. I'm just keeping my eyes open, hoping the best for it, whatever. But, you know, I'm just doing what I love, honestly.
Are you comfortable with maybe discussing that offer, or is it something you just kind of want to not put out there yet?
No, I'm fine with it. It's from a D2 school, Concord in West Virginia. Their coaches have been contacting me. They've been really nice. I'm going up there on a visit September 30th. They're going to show me around school, show me, like, how they – show, like, the environment around there, whatnot, and hopefully I'll like it.
Yeah, I was actually, like, born in West Virginia. I try not to admit that too many people, but depending on what area of the state you're in, it can be a pretty good area. So – anyways, like you mentioned at the top of this thing, you guys have there was the 4-1 South Iredell tomorrow, pretty tough team. Over last week and the bye week, let me digress a little bit. The Mount Tabor game, I want to touch on that. It's the game you played before the bye week. It was supposed to be played on that Friday, and everybody was canceling the games, and West Forsyth was the only team in the city kind of decided no matter what, we were going to play on Friday. And then there's articles in the paper about how parents disapproved of it. They thought they were putting the lives of the kids in danger by playing a football game and all that stuff. Tell me a little bit about that and that experience, getting in the mindset of football, and then coach coming in and saying, oh, game's been postponed to Monday.
Well, I mean, that's just the weather, but what Coach Snow told us that week, he said football is meant to be played in all types of weather. And I agree with them. I got canceled. We could have played Thursday night, but then again, well, I mean, I'd rather play on Friday night. If not, Monday night, we just got to suit up Monday night, get ready to go. I mean, all these parents talking about complaining, yeah. But, I mean, football is a physical sport. If you're going to cry about it, I don't think your kids should be playing football. I don't agree with it.
All right, so then we get to Monday night, and you guys are playing Mount Tabor in what seemed like the whole city county worth of football fans. I mean, they were watching from the hill, watching from the street. It's the only high school football game in town between two tough teams. And that game had you guys started out a little bit rocky. Tell us a little bit about that start and then how you guys were able to progress, throughout the game to ultimately beat Mount Tabor.
Started out rough, started out slow. We just had to get the offense going. We weren't converting on third downs. We were making passes. Like, I was running outs, making like 5-yard plays. But when we were running the ball, we were getting stopped. Our O-line, they started out slow, slowest I've seen all year. Then we got that one. We ended up getting a field goal because defense stopped them inside the 50. Ended up driving that up a few yards, getting a field goal, got the blood flowing, get going. And then I believe it was Q, Jaquan McMillan, that got a pick. And he started it off, honestly, for offense. That just ignited it. And we, ever since that play, we were head on, just not stopping.
Well, and then I think it was after that where – it was a pass, I think it was actually thrown to you, that set up a touchdown by, if I can remember the name, Kenyar McFadder. Is that his name?
Yes.
Yeah, so yeah. I do remember that play. And then, like what you said, it just went, you guys took it over from there. And because, I like to venture probably to say that you guys going in and losing 7-3 at half, Coach Snow wasn't pretty happy. And I'll tell you my experience with Coach Snow because not too many people know this. So I went to R.J. Reynolds High School, and Coach Snow was the O-line coach, and I was an O-lineman and at every bit of 5 foot, 7.5, 160 pounds. I was a left tackle. And so Coach Noah and I have history. I love telling this story. So I don't know. It was something that I did that pissed him off. And he told me, now where we practiced that, at Reynolds is we practiced at Haynes Park, basically right beside the varsity baseball field. And there's a school called Wiley, which is about maybe 200-400 yards away from where we practice at. And what I forgot what I did, but it made him so mad. This dude told me to run from the field all the way to Wiley, basically touch the front door of Wiley and run back. Well, essentially what I did was I ran until they couldn't see me anymore and kind of ducked behind the tennis courts about 200 yards and waited maybe about 3 or 4 minutes and ran back. But anyways, man, that's my Coach Snow story. And also on that coaching staff was Rick Lyles. Coach Atkins was on that staff at one point. Also, Coach Oakley was on that staff. And that was all in the same year. So I kind of know, you know, Jordan, what's being said out there on that football field and probably what's being said at halftime. So, you know, I'm sorry to go off on that, but I always like letting people know that. But so we got the game against South Iredell. Tell me what are the preparations, Jordan, that you guys have put in place for this game?
We've been practicing quick game, run pass options. We're looking for the passing game this week. I mean, we still got our running game. It's always going to stay strong, but passing game, we're planning to just break out this game, honestly. But other than that, I mean, our O-line, they're healthy. We're looking at the linebackers or what they stunt, whatnot, what they do. We're watching film every day. We're just getting prepared for them.
So what's the mood been like as far as, like, you know, throughout the week leading up to game day as far as, like, just the atmosphere, you know, in a student body, especially on a typical Friday?
You know, all the student body, all we're looking – the football players – every week we just think about going 1-0, 1-0. That's it, just 1-0. That's all you can ask for, just 1-0 every week. At the end of the season, it'll be fine. But atmosphere around school, I mean, not many people talk about it in the early days, but then when it comes Thursday, they're like, oh my God, the game's coming up, like all this, like they're getting hyped for it, and we're like, yeah, it's gonna be a big one. You got to come out. You got to support. We're just trying to get them all out there. And everybody at school supports us. They're behind us. They're not doubting us. They're all behind us, taking our backs. They're best fans, honestly.
So we get to, you know, we get into Friday, you go to class, and then the last bell rings, and it's time to kind of get ready, you know, to get in football mode. What do you do to kind of get in the mode of playing football?
Gotta have the earbuds. Put on some NBA YoungBoy. Get me in my zone. Put on some Kodak. Get me in my zone. We'll eat a team meal. Then we'll head to the pack. We'll watch a college pump up video. Coach Snow shows these every game. It's like a tradition at West. It'll be like the top plays from college all over the past few years. And it just gets us in a mood where we just want to get, like, shifty, hit a move, truck somebody, hit somebody. And it just gets us in that zone. And right, it's like 4:30. From 4:30 right on, we're just in the mood, like football mood, ready to take somebody's head off.
Yeah, and so, yeah, I, of course, I played football. I remember those, like, certain moods you get into. Basically back when I played, we really didn't have, like, you know, earbuds or anything like that. Give me 1 second. Yeah. Hey, George, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was doing a show, man. I had to I'm having a bum off some internet here at my mom's place. yeah, so anyways, so back on it. So what are you guys expecting tomorrow? Like, what's the you guys obviously expecting a victory, but how do you think it's going to go down?
Well, I mean, their D-line, they got – I saw in the locker room, Coach No printed out this thing. It had their D-linemen. There were just four D-linemen just in a picture, just their jerseys, and they were talking about how good they were, how all this. And, I mean, all I got to say is we're going to see what happens on the field, and that's it, honestly. But, I mean, their corner's short. I mean, I'm not saying they're bad, but, I mean, we just got to take our fight to them and see who's the better team.
Right. We were so what year were you born?
I was born on May 31st, 2000.
So in 2001 was when I graduated. You know, you were talking about putting in your earbuds, and before I got interrupted, what I was getting to is, like, man, it wasn't like any MP3s or players out. We weren't like none of this, smartphone that. We had a Walkman. You simply just took a cassette tape and you put it in there. You had like just regular headphones, not even like something high tech as Beats. And that's what we listened to for like music. Or in our locker room, we had like some kind of like some entertainment system that somebody on the team's mom or dad donated or something like that, and we used to listen to, you know, our little pump up music. But something I wanted to touch, you know, we like a question, and I'll probably ask Charlie too, because I never had the experience of it, and you do. What's it like being a high school athlete in the age of social media, where, you know, everybody's got a Twitter, everybody's got an Instagram. Everybody's got a Facebook, a Finstagram, and where people, you know, probably talk junk, and it's easy to get the whole kind of trash talking across more than it was when I was in high school. All we had was like this thing called Instant Messenger. So, like, tell me what it's like having to deal with that, and how do you deal with it?
I mean, I stay off the social media with, like, trash talking and all that. I'm not about that. I'm more of just see what happens at the game. But, I mean, in recent history, I mean, I have seen people trash talk each other. I don't think that's the way to go. I think, social media is just to, like, share with your friends, not trash talk anybody. Share your good times. I mean, you can post pictures about playing football, post, like, videos of plays and whatnot. But trash talking, I just keep that off social media. That's not me.
Yeah, that's probably about the way to do it. I think there are certain ways you can kind of handle it, and you should handle it. And there are certain, you know, there's a certain, you know, it's crazy because, believe it or not, college coaches, they look, if they're interested, they're going to follow you a little bit more closely. They may not follow you on Twitter, but look at your tweets. And if if one of your social media accounts, you know, in private, they may not follow you, but look at your Instagram because it's not private to see what you're putting on there. And I can actually tell you an incident where, and, you know, of course, I'll tell the story because, I know the kid well. So back when Maurice Atwood used to coach at Parkland, I was kind of helping him a little bit. There's this kid, you know, of course, Parkland, you know, they won like 8 straight state wrestling championships, and, you know, a lot of good D1 programs, you know, kind of had the Parkland wrestling team under a magnet. And I love the kid to death. You know, I've known him for a long time. But, Ethan Nasco decided he was going to put something on his Instagram account that it ended up happening. He was going up, he was going up to watch a game at Appalachian, a football game, and it was kind of the tickets and stuff were hooked up by the wrestling coach. And then about 7 o'clock in the morning, that wrestling coach sends me a screenshot of Ethan Nasco's Instagram, and he said, "What's wrong with your boy? Why don't you read this?" So I read it, and then I basically went off on a poor little kid at the time, and I was like, "Man, you can't be putting that on Instagram, man. I mean, you know, I told you these coaches they look at you guys, man. So you know, there's kind of an example. I'm not gonna go into detail what was on there, but needless to say, you know, he learned his lesson. I think his mama blew up on him, his dad blew up on him, his uncle, and so he pretty much felt the heat from everybody. But like you said, you got to be careful, you know, what you put on there. So another question leads me to ask, just away from football, what are some things that you typically like to do?
I mean, I like to hang out with my friends, have fun, like experience life. But I mean, I'm also like to hang out with my family. Other than that, I mean, it's basically sports, homework, friends, family. Other than that, there's not really – and eating, there's not much else I do.
Now you play baseball, right? You still play baseball?
Yeah.
Now, what's that now?
Oh, yeah, I'm playing – last year, I was going to say I tore my PCL during baseball season. And that put me out. I tore it beginning of the season. That put me out the rest of the season. Well, I came to the doc, and he told me it was second grade tear and that I might need surgery. Well, I was supposed to get surgery, and I was like, well, can I rehab it? Because surgery put me out at least 6 months, possibly 8, possibly more. And I was like, well, I got football coming up. That means I won't be back till like mid-CPC. And he was like, yeah, but you got to work it out like 3 times a day and just hopefully it just gets better. And we have to get you a brace. Brace cost $1,600. It was bang for our buck. But, I mean, it's doing its job. But it put me out all baseball season. And that just killed me, not being able to play baseball. So that just hurt. Because I was coming in pitching. I was looking strong this year. Like, I was going to be one of the top pitchers for our team. I was supposed to have a great year. Then some guy, Glenn, just decides to do something just not smart, or yeah, it's just childish, honestly. He just took me out. He put his knee into my knee, hyperextended my knee, tore my PCL. Now I'm planning to have surgery in the summer after baseball season. But right now I have to brace it up and just play with it. Yeah, my knees kill, but I mean, I just take some Advil, ice them every night, and then I'm good.
Yeah. I hate that happening. You know, some people just kind of some people are just dirty. I mean, I'm pretty sure, you know, people on the football field probably give you a shot after the whistle every now and again, and probably try to take another shot at that leg, which is just a dirty way to play the sport. You know, I don't follow a lot of baseball, but what I've, you know, from what I've gathered on it is people – There are people that play baseball like year round. Like, did you do that? Like, did you play for your high school team? Did you play at West Forsyth and then turn around and play like, you know, for like the Dirt Bags or something like that?
Nah, I wasn't one of those kids. I had football, so I never had time to. I played travel ball or showcase ball, they call it now. My freshman year, so after freshman year, I played. So sophomore year, summer, so going into sophomore year, that summer, that was my last year playing baseball in the summer. Then after that, I just played for the school, and that was it, because football just took up so much of my time, training, working out, just every day was football, football, football.
Now, like, so right now you're working, like I said, you're working on that leg, you're trying to get that situated. Hold on 1 second. Yes. Charlie Mintz, you could call now if you're listening. So Yeah. I'm trying to like text and talk and all that. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, if you don't have anything else to get off your chest here, man, I'm gonna let you go, man. I appreciate you being on the show.
I appreciate it, man.
Sorry, man. Sorry, kind of rocked off like that, man. I hate technical difficulties, man. It's terrible. So, but I appreciate it, man. Good luck tomorrow. I'll be there. So, yeah, man. We'll see you.
Thank you, man. I'll see you at the game.
All right.
All right, man. 4TF.
Huh? Hey, Charlie, can you hear me? Let's see. I'm trying to get him on. I think that's him. Give me one second. I got to work on these technical difficulties. Like, hold up. All right, Charlie, can you hear me, man?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Man, God, this has just not been my best show. it's terrible, dude. Technical difficulty after technical difficulty. That's what happens when you got on the internet. You have is terrible, but it is what it is. But yeah. So, anyways, man, how's it been going for you?
So far, so good. We just got done with a week of practice. We have a bye this week, so we just have been getting back to the basics, focusing on just our own stuff and just cleaning up our individual positions work stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, so like to ask all my new guests. So tell me how you got started in football. You know, how long you've been playing and how'd you get to this position where you're gonna start? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear.
Yeah. How'd you get to this position where, you know, you're starting quarterback at Reynolds and your team's like 4-1 now? Tell me about all this whole venture.
Yeah, so I mean, I started playing flag football when I was a little kid out at the Kernersville Raiders. I played 1 year there, and then I started hitting and playing in pads when I was like 8 or 9 over at South Fork Panthers, and I played all the way up through 8th grade unlimited there. I played against a bunch of all of the like Winsome Rams, the Indians. They were filled with high school stars. I played against them all the way up. I've been playing for pretty much all my life. I came into Reynolds, and then I came in as quarterback my freshman year. We ran a spread offense, and we did like a it was me and another quarterback, Mr. Goodlow. We rotated possessions. That was the way it was. I didn't like it, but we did that. I did that for 2 years. We did like the rotating possessions, like every other one type deal. And then my freshman year, I had a successful year. I had about 20 touchdowns and like 4 or 5 picks. Our team wasn't that great, JV freshman year. And then I played JV my sophomore year. And then 3 games into the year, I lost my spot at quarterback. And then I had to find another way to get on the field. I played safety from game 3 till actually the game against West Versailles. against North Davidson when Mr. Goodlow, he went down. I had to step back in at quarterback. And then I've just been a quarterback from then on. I mean, last year on JV, I led the team in interceptions, which was random because I've never played safety in my life. But and then this year I just took it as I'm the guy quarterback approach, and I'm back to where I was from walking in those doors as a ninth grader, as a quarterback.
You know, and that's good that you kind of – sometimes it takes losing something to make you work harder, and probably you losing your spot at quarterback was probably the best thing that ever happened to you. So, you were a small kid. How much do you weigh? Like, what, you know, how tall are you? How much do you weigh?
I'm like, I'd say I'm about 5'10", about 165, 160, around there.
So you're pretty small cat, and you're really doing good at safety there, and to get all those interceptions. So your team's 4-1 right now under coach Pat Crowley. I think it's also his third year. Tell me how it's been playing up under him and that coaching staff that you have.
Oh, I love our coaching staff. Our coaching staff is full of just fun guys that really care about us and know what they're talking about. We have former players at Reynolds, Craven Knotts. He's mostly with me as like quarterback coach, and then Coach Dunlap, Coach Blair, and Coach Juice. And Coach Mike James. They all played at Reynolds. They all understand what it's like playing for Reynolds and wearing the school colors and going to war as a Demon. I mean, I love playing under them. And then Coach Crowley, he took over the offense this year, and he made a great change back to a spread offense. After last year, we were unsuccessful running like a wing T type offense. We went back to the spread, and I love it. I mean, that's my strong suit is a spread offense, and Coach Crowley realized that, and I mean, it just all has come together that way, and I guess in a good way because we're sitting here at 4-1.
You want me to tell you who else has experience wearing those colors?
You do.
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, 10 years ago was my freshman year. No, excuse me. 20 years ago, excuse me, was my freshman year, 97-98 at R.J. Reynolds. So while I got you on here, I always got to tell a good Josh Jeffrey, Rotman Dunlap story. So, you know, I here I am. I'm in ninth grade, and when you're in ninth grade, and maybe it wasn't the same for you, but it was for me, is that all the upperclassmen football players, they just look freaking huge. And
yeah,
you're like, sure. And you're intimidated by them. So we used to, you know, you get to do maybe like a scrimmage or two before the regular season starts. I believe it's still that way now. And our head coach at the time, a guy named Alex Mabin, thought that it would be a fine idea to take an activity bus that only tops out at 55 mile an hour to Morganton, which is 40 west about 2 hours. Well, that's 2 hours.
Yeah.
That's 2 hours in a car.
Yeah.
You know, so we go, and so I get on the bus, and Robin Dunlap. There's an opening where we got a little mesh bag so we could put our shoulder pads in. So it's this little opening where, okay, good, there's an opening. I'm going to put my mesh bag there. Well, Robin Dunlap's like, you can't put your bag there. So I'm like looking at this dude like, well, I mean, I'm not just going to stick it there. I mean, look at me, you know. So, of course, I know, you know, but it was just funny because he was like, you can't put your bag there. So I tried to put it somewhere else, and he's like, you can't put your bag there either. So then Josh Jeffries comes out of nowhere. It's like, man, Rock, man, leave that boy alone, man. Let him put stuff up there. Stop being mean to him. You know, so Rod was always a good guy, man. Like, Rod actually was probably one of the best middle linebackers, you know, and really in high school football, the way he played the position. And Josh Jeffrey was good in his own right, defensive lineman. But, you know, those are two of the funniest people. Jay Blair was a senior when I was a freshman, but I actually grew up in the same neighborhood as him, and I kind of knew him prior to getting to high school. But at the end of the day, you got a good staff. So, you know, and it also the staff led you to be like, you know, you guys be 4-1. I want to ask you a question because it was brought to my attention. You kind of hurt your shoulder a little bit in the Reedsville game. How was that shoulder now, and how was the bye week helped with the rehabilitation and for it?
Yeah, against Reedsville, I took a nasty blindside hit, and I was knocked out with 9 minutes to go in the second quarter around then. And then I went to the doctor the next day, and I just had a few sprained ligaments and some bruising. I didn't feel good, and it was hard to move my arm throughout the entire week leading up to the North Forsyth game. We looked at the North Forsyth game as, I'm not underestimating North and I'm not talking down to them, but we looked at that as we should win that game. So Coach Crowley thought it was a good idea for me to sit out that game and just take it easy and don't push anything, don't rush anything back, so that I can be back in 100% for Grimsley and for the rest of the conference, just so I don't take an unnecessary hit. But we got down early against North, and things were not looking good. And at halftime, he came up to me, and he was like, I'm going to need you to go in. So, I was already suited up. So I went in against North and played the second half. We came from behind, and we won the game. So, I only threw the ball about 3 times because still wasn't feeling 100% comfortable with my shoulder and dropping back, passing, and I just wasn't comfortable with it yet. This week has gone on and it's gotten progressively better. I feel like I'm out about 95% right now. I'm good, and the bye week, it's honestly kind of perfect timing to have a bye week right before we start. We have Grimsley as our homecoming, and then we start back and we start up with conference. So the bye week is good timing just to get back 100%.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, I kind of missed the days of Friday night football, especially being in Reynolds. It was just that whole football atmosphere, you know, on a Friday at RJ Reynolds that just you would have to suit up in the black and gold to really understand that, you know, just, you know, the whole thing just about being a football player at Reynolds and, you know, the whole Society Hill and, you know, it was just, that was just always like the team that I always used to like, I just loved playing for RJ Reynolds. So, you know, it's kind of like that to you, like on a typical game day, what kind of mindset are you in on a typical Friday, you know, during the game, you know, basically, you know, after the last bell's rung, you know, seventh period or whatever it is, and then you know you start to make your walk down up under the tunnel, up under the street to the gym. You know, where's your mind at? What are you thinking about?
I try to stay calm. I just try to have fun with my guys. Just let it happen. I don't try to overthink things. I've made plays. I don't try to I get nervous, but it's not like a nervous to mess up. It's just an anxiousness to play. So, I love playing, and there's nothing better than going to school and looking forward to playing that Friday night and having people come up to you saying, good luck, I'll be there. I love that kind of stuff. So it's all fun. It's just all fun.
What are you guys trying to do to get the level up? because, and I don't know if it was just because of the away game, but I was really, really upset at the lack of student support that I saw. To me, you know, and I can speak that it was downright embarrassing just to not see more students out there supporting you guys. And I'm saying that because I feel like I could speak about it, me playing there and knowing that we had a lot, you know, our student body came out to support us. I mean, is that typical? Is that, you know, or is that just what you guys been expecting?
I mean, years, just because we haven't given the students results to want to come watch us play. I think you caught it in a bad time because we were playing at North Forsyth. It was not supposed to be an exciting game. But, I love playing in front of students, and it's not fun to go to games and have 15 students there. But, I mean, the way you get students to come is by winning, and that's the way we're trying to approach that, and that's how we're going to try to get students to come is just by putting up points and winning games.
Well, I mean, what they have to realize though is you guys are 4-1, and that's like one of the best starts, and I want to say since 2009. I mean, it's you know, people prior to Pat Crowley taking over, people just started to write R.J. Reynolds off, and now people are reason to believe again. So, you know, I just wish they start showing up. So, I was talking to a couple kids that knew who you were, and one of them told me, a kid named Austin Bowen, he says, "Yo, I heard you got Charlie on your show. Yo, he could shoot the lights out on the basketball court. Tell me about that, because I didn't know you're a basketball player." You know, do you know who Austin Bowen is?
Yes, I do. So basketball has always been my primary sport. I haven't really been a football player. I haven't named myself as a football player. Like, football has always just been my second or third sport. I love basketball. I played varsity last year as a sophomore. Basketball has just always been, like, my passion and just always been, like, what I play sports for. Football has kind of taken over the last little bit just because I've had a lot of success in it so far. I still love basketball. I mean, I play basketball for Reynolds. I shoot. That's what I'm there for. I play for Team Winston AU program, and I'm there to shoot. I hit the game-winning three against Mount Tabor last year. That was the highlight of my year last year. But basketball has always just kind of has always been my main and top sport. And football, I mean, I'm not saying that basketball is completely gone. I still love it, and I'm looking forward to a great year under Coach Martin this year. But, I mean, right now, I guess it's maybe just because I'm in football season, I'm just in football mode right now. Football is just kind of taking over for me.
Yeah, you got to take it one sport at a time. Who are your AAU coaches?
I played for the Carolina Tide my seventh grade year under Antoine Barber, and then I switched to Team Winston my eighth grade, my ninth grade year, and then I played those 2 years. My eighth grade year was under Coach Antoine Barber and Coach Goodlow, and then my ninth grade year was under Coach Cooper and Coach Troy, who are over at North Carolina Wesleyan. And then last year I played under Antoine Barber again and Coach Goodlow.
I got you. I was just noticing, you know, one of your followers on Instagram was a coach named Mike Russell. Do you know him?
Yeah, Mike. He's kind of the face coach of Team Winston. He does a bunch of operations over at D1. He's a great dude.
Yeah, so Mike Russell was the starting quarterback at Reynolds when I was playing. So yeah, that's why I didn't know if you knew him from like maybe getting information. Yeah, so he was we actually ran something called a veer option kind of Air Force style out of the bone. So he was always good at that. So, but yeah.
Yeah, Mike.
Anyways,
Mike's
man. Like,
awesome.
So what now?
I said, yeah, Mike's an awesome dude.
Oh yeah, he's a great guy, and AJ Steele's another one, but he never played football, but he was a standout basketball player at Reynolds back when I was there. Before I let you go, so away from football, away from basketball, what do you do just to wind down and relax and just have fun? Do you hunt? Do you fish? Do you? What is it that you do that nobody else probably knows that you do?
Nothing special. I just hang out with my friends. I play video games. I watch TV. My uncle's all into hunting, and my brother doesn't mind it. And I just never really got into that kind of stuff. I just like to chill and just watch TV and just hang out. That's all I really do, other than football.
No, and that's cool. So, what would if someone I'll ask you a question that I asked Jordan Goko. What is it like being a high school athlete in the age of social media? Like, how do you handle that? How do you handle the content that you put out there, or content that's put out there about you, maybe from another athlete or another? I mean, you know, because I never had that experience, and I would venture to say, oh, I couldn't say how I would handle it. You know, in situations that, you know, I see a lot of kids get in trouble because of what they put on their Instagram, their Twitter, their Snapchat, or their Facebook. You know, I'm just glad that I didn't play or grew up in that kind of era. Tell me a little bit about how you handle all that.
Yeah, I try to avoid any trash talking, anything. I use social media just as a way to communicate with my friends and just post about what's going on in my life. I try my best to avoid any trash talk and get into any arguments with anybody over just some pointless sports stuff. Like, I try my best just to avoid it and not to get involved, because I know most of the time it does not end well for both of us. But mostly, I just try to avoid it as much as I can.
I got you. Well, I know you got homework to do, but before I let you go, just because I'm gonna do it, and I'm gonna throw out this, and hopefully it helps. If you guys want to go get some good insurance, go to Mitch Insurance. Go contact Danny Mitch, and he'll get you hooked up. Anyways, man.
Yeah.
So I just throw that out there. I know you like that one. So he followed me on Twitter. I said he kind of, you know, he's in the insurance. So I was like, I'm just gonna throw that out there for him. Maybe he may get somebody off this show listening to the show. Maybe not. Didn't hurt it. So we'll see you, man. And look, thanks for being on the show, and thanks for, you know, bearing with me through all this technical difficulties. I hate when it happens, but hey, you know what? You're at the mercy of the internet. Seems like everything we do now is at the mercy of the internet. So it is what it is.
Oh, yeah.
But I appreciate you being on the show. Hey, man, go pound out them academics, man.
All right. Hey, thank you for having me on here.
Hey, and listen, this will not be the last time you'll be on the show, man. I'll get you. Maybe, hopefully I can try to get you on maybe during basketball season. I feel like I owe you one with all the technical difficulties, man, and it kind of literally throws me off of my game. So, but I appreciate it, man, and you have a good one.
All right, thank you. You too.
Later. All right, guys, that was Charlie Mitch, the quarterback at R.J. Reynolds High School. Seems like a great kid. Met him once at the end of a football game. Very, very, very approachable individual. I've heard nothing but good things about him. I wish him the best of luck, and whatever it is that, you know, that he decides to pursue. Maybe he wants to pursue football. Maybe he wants to pursue basketball. Either way, you know, I wish him luck. You know, he's leading the RJ Reynolds football team, you know, to a 4-1 record, which makes me happy because, you know, I've practiced at Haynes Park on that practice field. I've played inside of Deaton Thompson Stadium. I know what it's like to, you know, sing the alma mater, you know, which I still remember, and they make you recite it as a homework or a quiz grade or something your freshman year, and I still remember it. You know, it's just the whole thing of just walking the halls of R.J. Reynolds High School. You know, three story building, you know, tremendous auditorium, just a nice campus all around. I've part of the wrestling team up under the legend James Alexander. I did drama club, all that good old stuff at R.J. Reynolds. I love to tell people that I graduated there in 2001. So, you guys, I appreciate you guys, you know, bearing with me through the technical difficulties. I want to bring you a show next week. But at any rate, thanks for tuning in. And, again, my apologies for all the technical difficulties. But this has been another episode of Access Radio Live.